Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. I'm so excited to let you know who our guest is today. His name is Robert Powell. He is an ADHD coach for executives, and he specializes in the ADHD area and helps business owners and executives really focus, and he helps them in many ways, and I think you're going to find out more as we speak more with him today. So welcome to our show, Robert. We appreciate your time.
Hi, Angela. It's great to be joining you here.
Great. So first of all, we have tons of questions on how you focus, but before we get started, could you let everyone know just a little bit about you and, you know, what you do? Because a lot of people are familiar with coaches, and they're familiar with different types of coaches, and you have such a unique specialty that I would love for them to hear how you explain this to others on what you do.
It all started many years ago. My background actually isn't in psychology or coaching. My background is in business. Mm-hmm. For so over 20 years, I ran one of the leading fashion accessory companies in the country. I have ADHD myself. And for most of my career, I was not diagnosed, and it was a major plus for me. Because I was able to bring out my strengths of creativity, of working with people, of seeing the big picture and seeing things that other people couldn't see. And everything was great. And plus, I use one of my number one ADHD strategies now, which is delegate everything but genius. And everything was great until the business hit some challenging times and had to reduce some staff. And I had to take over more administrative roles. And it was scary. At one point I thought I was getting Alzheimer's, that I couldn't remember things. I had no sense of time. My project management skills were off. So I got diagnosed with ADHD, and it was a changing moment for me. It was very, very significant.
How long? I'm curious about that. How long ago was that you had that light bulb moment of, hey, I've got to make a change?
Something's really wrong. I would say it's probably about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And moving forward, when I closed my business, I was looking for what's the next step. And one area I was looking for was developing a new business, more socially conscious one. But I ended up getting more into the consulting and coaching world. And through that, I ended up noticing more and more of my clients had ADHD. And it just became a very natural specialty that was able to bring together many of my strengths, my past business strengths, and my current knowledge that I got in psychology and coaching. And I wanted to be able to help people to avoid some of the challenges that, you know, that I faced during my difficult times.
Wonderful. And just to be clear for everyone who's listening to this, do you do mainly business owners, or do you do, teenagers, children? I mean, what is your specialty area that you focus on in terms of the clients that you work with?
It'd be business owners or mm-hmm. executives or professionals. People that, for the most part, if you would look at my clients, people think that they're the top of the game. They're incredibly successful. And as I said, by the way it looks at the outside world, there's nothing could be wrong. But
wow,
they're suffering because the main thing is they feel that they haven't been able to reach their full potential.
Wow. So give us an example. How did some of these people find you? Because it's very difficult. There's many different types of coaches out there, right? And there's a lot of ADHD coaches that are out there. How has a lot of your clients found you along the way?
I'd say a third has probably been through professional referrals, mm-hmm. which many times would come through my client's doctor or psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I'm connected with some of the psychiatrists that work with the high-end company benefit plans. And so it really targets, you know, my type of client, you know, the successful executive that has ADHD. I'd say another third come from client referrals. And another third, I'm not doing it now, but I used to do a fair bit of advertising on AdWords.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people that have never had a coach, let's say they're very successful and they may be a CEO, they may be a vice president, but they've never had a coach and this is new to them. They've heard of counseling, they've been to their doctor's office, but coaching is something new to them. How, you know, what advice would you give to those people in terms of, you know, what not to be afraid of and how to take that first step, whether it's with you or anyone else? Because again, most people that reach out for coaching, it's either usually from their company or if they do it themselves. I mean, what is it to make them feel a little bit more comfortable? How do they take that first step?
Well, the first step is usually reaching out. And some cases, you know, there's an image everybody has of it. I want to coach because I just want to reach this much higher height in my life, climb this mountain. Mm-hmm. Usually my clients reach out to me because they're having a problem, that they're either totally overwhelmed in the work that they're doing, that they're not doing as effectively as they know they can, or the amount of effort they need to put in is just mm-hmm. distracting from other parts of their life, and it's hurting their family life, you know, their key relationships with their partners, or their children.
Right.
So it's that sense where they reach out. And I think it's important. What's the philosophy of the coach, therapist that you're going to? You know, for my part, I'm not really that interested in weaknesses. People come to me because of their weaknesses and challenges. But all the research has shown, in my experience as well, is when you try to fix somebody, it's a very long road and it's, you know, frustrating and rarely successful. What I want to do is I want to find out, where do you want to go? What do you want to accomplish? And once we have that path in mind, we look at what are the challenges in the way? What are the blocks? What are the blind spots? Some of it could be because of ADHD or difficulty focus. Others could be about, it could be about any issue. So what we do is we work on those issues, but it's because and in pursuit of their goal.
You know, what's interesting is, and I don't mean to interrupt you, one thing I wanted to say is that the thing that makes you so unique is there's a lot of coaches out there that specialize in this area, but they may or may not have ADHD, but you have ADHD. So you know how it feels and you know the roadblocks, which makes it, in my opinion, makes you very specialized because you understand where they've been and what they're going through at those frustrating times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another big piece of it, you know, with many of my clients, there's this shame of things that they feel very embarrassed about that they've done in their lives. And as I tell them, there's nothing that any client has been able to tell me that they've done that has been worse than I've done or that I've seen. So I get it.
Right, right.
There's no, I have zero judgment, you know, with clients.
Got it. I'm so fascinated by that. What I want to ask you first before we find out more about you is, so here you are, you're an ADHD coach and you're working with clients who have ADHD. So how does an ADHD coach focus when they're getting ready to help others? Because, you know, we all have trouble focusing in one way or the other. I was explaining to someone the other day, you know, we all have arguments with our spouses or our children, or maybe we're just tired the next day or something. But in your business, you have to be on, right? So when you're having one of those days yourself, how do you focus?
Okay. So it's I'm hearing two specific questions. How do I focus generally, if I'm having a challenging day or at all, and B, how do I focus with a client?
Right.
It's two separate issues. First, with the client, mm-hmm. to me, the hour, an hour and a half that I spend with a client, it's very precious, very important time. Leaving aside the money, for my clients to commit the time to me, you know, I honor that.
Because they're busy, right? And so for them to take the time out, you know, this is, you know, you value that and you appreciate that, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people look at it as a job, you know, that whether they're a counselor or a coach, and the ones I find that value the time of their own clients, they really focus in on that person at that time.
Right. So, and as well is we're dealing with some heavy duty stuff. Like almost nobody comes to me to saying they're having troubles in their personal life with their partner, with their kids. But I'd say over half the time, these issues do come up. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with matters that are very close to the heart. So mm-hmm. me, I have to be on for that time. So I don't book back-to-back appointments. And when I see that it's approximately 10 or 15 minutes before my next appointment, you know, the plan is to turn off, you know, turn off my computer, turn off my phone, and just step back and breathe, sort of connect. And I try to visualize the client. I visualize them in their lives. I visualize them at their office. I visualize them at home with their kids, their family. And I want to establish a connection and a space before I even really connect with them. So that's how I get ready and get in the headspace for a client.
You mentioned you don't book back-to-back appointments. Share a little bit about that with us, because I think a lot of people could learn from that and appreciate that. For instance, do you give yourself a 30-minute window? Do you give yourself an hour window? What works for you?
I try to give myself half an hour, okay, which usually ends up to about 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because there are sometimes things you have to deal with in between, and then clients sometimes run a little bit late. One of the aspects of ADHD is speed. We tend to think and talk fast.
Nice.
And in many cases, that success helps, is reason for our success. But I've also discovered that the quickest way to get places sometimes is to slow down. And if I'm going from one client to the next at a high speed, I'm really not focused on that specific client. So I find that it's very important for me in so many aspects of my life to slow my mind down and be more present so I can focus on what the task at hand is. And in this scenario, it's helping people.
Right. And, you know, one thing when you hear, you know, we hear this word shame a lot in many different aspects, in various, you know, issues, whatever that might be. Let's say that we have a listener that is a spouse or someone that knows, maybe they're a coworker. And when you say shame, they probably don't, they may or may not know what that means. Can you give just a brief explanation of how someone with ADHD goes through shame? Because I think a lot of listeners may have ADHD and not even know it, but they may feel that shame. So putting those pieces together, I think, would be very valuable. Would you mind sharing that?
No, there's many examples. In many cases, they're fairly simple. As a partner, you'd have certain responsibilities in your house, whatever it might be, to pick up the milk on the way home, take the garbage out, arrange something. And many cases, they have ADHD, these simple things, they get forgotten. They're not done. You know, initial response could be, oh, I have so many more important things to do, I didn't have time to it. But at a deeper level, I think there's many times there's a feeling of shame because you know you have that responsibility. And you can run a $1 million company, but you can't remember to take the garbage out.
Right.
It creates a conflict in themselves.
Which many people would hear that statement and think, how does that happen? Right. But it's very true. It happens all the time. And the other thing that I wanted to mention to you was that, you know, you think about spouses, and let's say you have a spouse that comes home and says, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I need some help with this. How can they help? Like how can they communicate? Because I think sometimes ADHD, especially senior level executives, feel like they have to do it all. Right. They've got to be on top of everything, including their home life. But how can a spouse or maybe an executive assistant, how can they help that person when they are maybe having that, you know, tough moment or that tough day?
Well, it's two areas. An executive assistant, I think executive assistance and delegation are key strategies if you can afford to have it, if you have ADHD. Mm-hmm. So then it's a question of just, you have to define what is your challenge. Is it keeping your calendar organized? If that's a challenge, that's something you delegate. If you're a lawyer, is it preparing the initial documents, doing the proofing? You have to find what area is not your strength. What makes you unique in your company? What's your superpower? And you want to be able to delegate to an assistant as much of that as possible. So that's the easier one. When you're talking about a spouse, it's not so easy. And it's challenging. And I think the key is it's understanding for the spouse or the partner that this is not something that they're doing on purpose. It's not as simple as just remember to do it. That there's a basis that the way the brain is structured, certain things are more challenging to do. So we start with a level of understanding, and then we find out the strategy that can help. If it's something as simple as remembering to, you know, to take the garbage out, possibly a little post-it note somewhere can do it. If it's a question, remember to bring home the milk, maybe send in an extra text about it.
Exactly.
The main risk.
Those are great suggestions right there. And I'm sure you could list off, you know, 20 or 30 and keep going, please. Yeah.
Yeah. Just let me add one thing. The important thing and what I see a lot when I, you know, deal with a couple of relationships is shaming and blaming and nagging. And the relationship becomes almost one, a parent and child. And then if you think of your spouse as your mother or your father, it's not healthy. So you really got to tackle this together. Learn about it. Learn what the challenges are. Learn what the strategies are.
Right. You know, one thing that we have heard more and more is that sometimes parents will have a child with ADHD, and they may be an executive, but they put themselves second. They go to great strengths to get the child or the teenager all of the help in ADHD possible, and they forget about themselves. And what advice or direction would you give to that executive that's doing that? Because I know many people do that personally, and I've seen it over and over, because parents love our children, right? And we feel like it's almost like, well, wait, I'm in my 50s or 60s. I don't really have the right to go and say, hey, I've got ADHD.
Yeah, it's interesting. I find probably almost half of my clients that come to me realize they had ADHD because their kids got diagnosed. And then they're hearing these symptoms and they go, huh, sounds familiar. So that's what clues a lot of my clients into the fact that they have it. And I don't know, I find that, at least what I experience, once my clients see that there's a logical reason for all their challenges, they want to get help. They want life to be easier. You know, they want to be able to accomplish certain goals that they found hard. And as a parent, I think when the most, especially as your kids get older, the best thing we can do is model behavior. So if they see that you as a parent are taking serious this diagnosis, and it's not sending you into depression, it's not making you feel like you're any less than you were, but it's motivating you to take proactive steps to make changes so you can excel in what you need to do. I think it's a pretty valuable lesson to give your kids.
You know, when you just said that, I felt like thinking, you know, as a child, knowing that their parent would reach out for that help, it would probably be a sense of relief of, hey, it's not all going to come down on me now. It's going to be more of a joint effort together that we're going to learn together.
Exactly. And also, it's sort of an acceptance that it's not all my fault, okay, in the communication.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. And a lot of, I know a lot of parents will be like, you know, clean your room and do this and do this. And especially if they're ADHD, sometimes I find that they come down on the child very hard, which is unfortunate because they don't realize what they're going through.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
And if you were to look at their room, it might be just as bad, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't think our parents might be able to get away with a sort of don't do what I do what I say type of model, but I find that much more challenging these days.
Exactly. So one of the things that you do, when I was reading about your profile and your experience, you actually do a lot of your coaching via video and versus in person. Do you find that to be effective?
Yeah. There's, in an ideal world, I would rather be right next to you or working together. Mm-hmm. But there's some limitations on that too. You know, one is distance. A lot of my clients are international. Mm-hmm. And some people are more comfortable not being face-to-face. And even with people that are local, it's, you know, traffic and everything. A one-hour appointment could end up taking 2.5-3 hours out of your day. So it's much more effective that way.
Right. And I have had executives that have shared with me that it's more private and it's more of a personal conversation that you're having that you can have, at different times of the day that work into their schedule. Because especially when, you know, Robert, when you deal with executives that you deal with, sometimes they're at the very senior level. Those time slots are very limited. And I believe that you always show some flexibility on your schedule as well, if it's important to get them fit their schedules to meet with yours as well.
Yeah, where possible. It is more challenging though, for my part, to do it mm-hmm. on.
Right.
Because a lot of what, when you're communicating with somebody, there's what you say, but there's your body language as well is so important. So I got to be very, it's harder to pick that up on video than live. And it's even harder to pick it up on just the phone, but it's important. So it requires a little more focus and attention on my part.
Got it. Can you give us an example of a success story about, you know, how someone came to you and what worked, what didn't work, just to kind of give a story, a picture of something, of one of your clients, being confidential, of course, so that it can resonate potentially with someone that's listening to this podcast.
Yeah. So I think first, it's very good when you said what works, what didn't work. My philosophy is there is no standard solution or answer to how to be more focused and how to pay attention. We're all different. Our brains are different. We think and we process differently. We've had different experiences. So the way I come up with solutions with clients is experiments, is trying different things. And I think rather than give a specific example, I could better explain this in a global sense. So procrastination is probably one of the key challenges in paying attention. So how do we deal with procrastination? The number one thing is to first understand that it's very easy if you have ADHD, and if you don't, that you can be overwhelmed with different things and everything you have to do. And when you get overwhelmed, what the brain tends to do for safety is nothing. And you procrastinate and nothing gets done. Or you get lost in some ridiculous search you said around the internet, which took you to, you know, who knows where. So the first thing you got to be able to deal with is that overwhelmed feeling. So if you're sitting at your desk, it might not, and you got all these things to do, the best thing might not be to push yourself through. It might be to just take 2-3 minutes, and I have different breathing routines I do with clients, but to calm your brain down a little bit. And then we can try doing a data dump. Just write down on a pad of paper everything that's on your mind that needs to get done. Because you want to get information out of your mind. Your mind is a brilliant, brilliant machinery for processing. However, it is a terrible filing cabinet that we do not do good keeping data in our minds. So you want to get that out of your mind and you want to be able to get it on paper. So that itself, those two steps, I find to be extremely calming and helping people in procrastination. Then we want to develop a system that can stop you from procrastination. So the system I developed, it's called the 4 W's, what, where, when, and why. The first thing is, what is it you have to do exactly? So if your task was to hypothetically come up with your work on your strategic plan for next year, that's a pretty overwhelming task. But instead of that, if you broke it down and you said, my task was to analyze last year's sales, or analyze sales in California, a very specific behavioral task to do, all of a sudden, it's not as overwhelming. And the other thing too, let's see how to clean your house. Clean your house can be overwhelming. But instead, right, if the task to get started was to clean, organize your office, all of a sudden, it's not so overwhelming. So that's the first W, what. The second is where. Locations are huge. It makes such a difference. Some people like to be in a very quiet, still environment. Others work best at a Starbucks. So we have to discover where is the best place for you to do this job. And I find that certain functions require certain different locations. You know, many of my clients, we plan an hour a week, sometimes two, where they would leave the office and go somewhere to do a specific task, especially a task that I think a lot of executives don't do, which is really a shame because that's what they're really paid for, what they're the best at, is thinking time. But that's a whole other subject. So we want to know where you're doing it. And the third thing is when. When I'm working with a client and we talk about this is what we want to accomplish. I want to get done next week, by next week. Okay. If I leave it at that, the next week, have you got it done? Majority of the times, they wouldn't. But if we say, okay, when are you going to do it? And they're going to do it Wednesday. Well, when Wednesday? 2 o'clock. And then I would suggest they put it into their calendar to do it. The likelihood of success by having it in a calendar and a time block for it is exponentially better. And the fourth one is why. Is there a greater purpose to what you're doing? You know, is it just you just got to get this work done? Or maybe the greater purpose is you want to finish this in time so you can get home. You want to finish this so you can get on to something more exciting. We want to do this so it can end up having a positive effect on certain areas of your company or your stakeholders. If there is a higher purpose, it can help. So I find on those four W's are pretty significant in helping. And the strategy that we could use, for instance, where they would work, what location they would work, how much they're going to break up. There's different strategies involved. So if you were coming to see me, and the first session, we might say there are these four or five things that are important for you to accomplish. We would have a strategy for you for the week, for each one. And you try them. And next week when we got together, if you're typical, you probably got half, three quarters done successfully. I'm not really that concerned with what didn't work. What I'm interested in is what worked and what strategy there connected with the way your brain processes information and allows you to get things done. And then the following week would have that strategy that we're adapt a little bit on whatever the new tasks are. So the end result is A, you've accomplished what you needed to, but equally or more important, you learned a strategy to overcome procrastination, for instance, that you could end up using that strategy in all areas of your life.
That's amazing. You know, when you were saying all of this, one of the things that jumped into my mind was sometimes ADHD comes along with other areas, maybe depression, some other areas, especially if they haven't had the right help. Let's say you have an executive that is very successful, but everything is just too overwhelming, which is a common, you know, issue with people with ADHD. But let's just say it's all too much one day, and they just cannot get started. They can't get started at the day. What can someone like that do?
Okay, if we're talking about if this happens on a regular basis, you know, uh-huh. We're looking at depression or chronic anxiety, which is very common with ADHD. But I believe you're common. You're looking at example of just one of those days where it's just so hard to get started.
Right. Just one of those days, it's just too much.
First thing is we don't beat ourselves up about it. We all have days like that. Mm-hmm. So assuming that it is a day still that you're going to work, you're at your desk, you know you got to read this report, but it's painful. You just can't get it going. For that, I have the 10-minute commitment. See, it's very difficult for your brain at that point to get into, to want to do an extended task. The thought of working on this report for an hour is just no way.
Right.
But if you ask yourself, can I do this for 10 minutes? You know, chances are you can. So what you do is you set your alarm in your phone for 10 minutes and you start working. And I'm not sure what your experience is, but most people find that once they get into something, mm-hmm. they're in it. It's the initiation that's the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I hear a lot from a lot of different executives that that I interview in our search business that we own as well, is that, you know, some days it's just too much. And they always, it's interesting, they'll confide in me with that. But I love that. I love your 10-minute rule, because I think that can go along with teenagers as well, from a parent that could do that with their teenagers.
Totally. So let me just finish it. So what happens? The alarm goes off. And hopefully you're good. You're good to go. Sometimes you're not. So you might want to give it another 10 minutes. Mm. And then still, if that doesn't work, go for a walk. Do something. You're not going to be able to. And then come back and then try it again.
Got it. So I have a question for you. So when we had first started out, you mentioned saying that you had started in the fashion industry. And one of the questions that we always ask people on this podcast is, you know, was there a time in your life that maybe things didn't go well, or, you know, it could have been anything from, you know, a relationship ending or a business failing or something that made them take the curve and change direction. As an ADHD coach, but also someone who has ADHD, what was that like for you, and how did you get through that?
How do I get through very challenging times?
Yes, but for you particularly, you had this fashion business, right? And so you had some things that had kind of gone wrong, I believe, or some issues with that. And please correct me if I'm wrong on that. But then you decided to go into this ADHD coaching. What was that transition? When, you know, how did you say, hey, I think I'm going to do something new? Because I think we all have that light bulb moment where we say, okay, I've got to do something different, and this is what I'm going to do. So the process for you, what was that like? Did you fight that? Did you say, I don't want to do it? Or did you kind of go in 100%? Or did you kind of, you know, say, you know, get up with excitement every day? I mean, because everybody goes through changes like that with their own experience, right? So I think listeners would be really interested to hear how you personally made that transition for yourself.
Right. So I'm trying to think of the best way to take a story that could fill a couple hours, 2 minutes. You know, we go through a stage of denial. And fighting. In my case, I ended up in a 4-year fight with the tax department, where without question, I was right. However, I found out it's almost impossible to fight the government because they're fighting you with your own money.
Right. So right.
There's a point when it comes with acceptance. You know, what is the situation here? Is this something that I can continue with? And accepting how you feel about it and not beating yourself up and allowing yourself the time to process. Yeah, it took a while. It's for myself, I had to really remove myself from the business in order to really be able to look deep in myself to see what is it that I wanted to do, what was important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, especially as, you know, we're getting older. Where you can say, how do we want the next decade of our life to look? And I decided for myself, it wasn't the way it was before. That, yes, I was younger. I wanted to be the next Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. But it's a process. I realized, no, it's not what it's about. Yes, you know, I want to be financially well off, but there are things more important. And I wanted to make a difference. And it's so by allowing myself the time to really know what I was feeling, what was going on, I was able to create a vision for myself for the future and then plan towards it. But yeah, there's some things we just can't wake up the next day and smile and go, everything's okay. We have to be able to allow ourselves to feel the pain.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one question I did have for you is, you know, through your lifetime, has there anyone, it doesn't have to be anyone famous, it can be a family member, it can be anyone, you know, who has been the most influential in your life that's guided you? Or did you have an ADHD coach? Or did, you know, and it doesn't have to be ADHD, but has there been anybody that's been influential in your life that's impacted your life to make a difference or change?
There have been many people along the way that have that have definitely been significant and helped me. But I think as far as the ADHD piece, you know, my poster child for ADHD is Richard Branson. Incredible entrepreneur, you know, Virgin Records, Virgin Music, Virgin Airlines, so on and so forth. Plus, if you see the guy, listen to him, he loves life. He's like, I wouldn't do it, but he's jumping off of planes, climbing mountains, and he's got ADHD.
I was going to say, does he have ADHD? Yeah. Many people might not know that. So yeah. He does. Okay.
He has it, and he talks about it, and he's proud of it. And he's come up with strategies to work. So for me, that's a perfect example of someone that's able to create a very successful business that's very innovative and cool, and he's able to enjoy life.
Talking about you personally, what in your personal life, what are you passionate about? And it doesn't have to be about the business, but what are you passionate about in your life?
I want to go beyond the standard where I'm passionate about helping people. You know, it's, just assume that's an entry.
But you do help people. Yeah, you do. You help people every day. Yeah.
I know that's what everybody would say. And I want to go, I wouldn't be doing that if I didn't feel that way. But I think for me, I'm passionate about my own personal growth. My own personal authenticity. You know, we grow up, especially when you have a learning disability, as an undiagnosed. There's so many people telling you that you can't do this, that there's something wrong with you. It develops a veneer on how you treat the world. And I find that my greatest success is when I can get rid of that veneer, that layer, and be authentic. And it's a whole process of growth. So for me, my passion is in my own personal growth.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Perfect. And then what do you like to do for fun? And that's the problem a lot, as you would agree, with ADHD people, right? They work, or they get so consumed that I always think it's very interesting to ask people, you know, at the end of the day, even if you don't have time to do it every day, when you do have time, what do you like to do for fun?
I'm happiest on a dock by the lake or on a beach by the ocean. I love water. I love nature. That's where I get my joy and my greatest sense of peace. And whatever I'm doing that alone, or I'm sharing it with family or loved ones, that's my favorite.
Okay, perfect. And then as you're there at the lake, and let's say you've had a rough week or whatever, how do you get inspired? Do you meditate? Do you just sit by the lake? Do you make list? I mean, what do you do to get inspired?
It starts with quieting the mind down, because our mind can also be very limited in the thoughts it gives. So if we're talking about being by the water, just even a form of being there, the form of meditation, just experiencing it, listening, seeing and feeling what's going on, creates an open space. And once I have that space, if I happen to have a subject, I usually try to go in with a question. You know, could be trying to get over a certain problem. It could be developing a new opportunity. And I just have a pad of paper and a pen, nothing electronic. And I just think about the question.
Got it.
But this actual art of thinking is something else I work with clients to try and do. You know, my average executive over almost half their time is in meetings. And those that work at companies such as Google, it could be up to 75%. Many companies have a huge amount of meeting times. So that plus trying to manage your staff, you don't have time to think. And it's really, it's what your biggest asset is to your company. So I'm a strong believer in allowing yourself very focused time to think.
You know, one thing, even for me, and many people have their own different styles of doing this, but one thing that I do personally is the night before my day. I'm a list person. I always try to make my list the night before. But when you have kids, it's sometimes very difficult to do. But is that, do you recommend to other clients of yours making that list the night before or at the end of the day? What seems to work best for people who have ADHD?
Okay. Again, there's all differences, but I would say what works best, I have with clients, we assume that this planning process would take 15 minutes, maybe even half an hour, because you might want to combine it with the review of what you accomplish. Whatever time you want to leave in a day, what your plan is, you set your alarm half an hour before, and you do it before you leave. Or if you're working late, again, you just do it before you leave. The best way is if when you come, if you want to come in first thing in the morning and know exactly what you need to do. Otherwise, you can get lost. So if you plan to do it first thing in the morning, it's a danger. You walk in, 101 other things can happen to take your attention away. So you're dealing with what is in front of you as opposed to what's most important. Other strategies is people do it at home at night. It's not great. If you have no choice, I'd say all right. But where possible, when you go home, it's nice if you can be at home.
Right.
So before you leave the office is number one option.
Right. I've got a very unique question for you that I think you will be able to help many people make the break on this. There are executives out there who may have ADHD, and they may not, but let's say they have not been diagnosed for ADHD. Are for those individuals who, let's say they feel like they have it, but they don't, this is maybe a new territory for them. Are there tests online they can take? Do they go see a physician? Do they, do they talk to someone like you? What's the best route for an adult executive? Because pediatrics is different, but to some degree, but you know, how does somebody who thinks that maybe they do, and it may come out to be that they don't, but you could probably help them just in organizing their time. But let's say they think they have it, but they don't really know the best route to go. What would you recommend to those people?
There's different routes. Many of my clients do not have a formal diagnosis of ADHD. It's important to get a formal diagnosis if A, your work situation could require it, or B, you're going to want the pharmaceutical solution too. You're going to want to be taking some stimulants or some drugs to help you. Mm-hmm. And if that's the route, your best bet is to start with your doctor. Some doctors are informed enough to help. Others would refer you to a psychiatrist, psychologist for an assessment. If you don't need a formal diagnosis and you'd rather not jump into the pharmaceutical drug route, you can start with a coach. You can start with to learn the behaviorals changes, what you can do in order to make things better. I'm not a big fan of labels. Whatever you have ADHD or not is really not relevant. The issue is that there are some challenges that are getting in your way, and you want to find a way to deal with them.
And with your experience, you could pick that up, very easily. But what I think when people think, I remember this with my own son when he was with a pediatrician, and they called and said they wanted him to see a psychiatrist. I literally had a personal meltdown for him because I just didn't want to go that route. However, we needed to do that, and we had to go through that process because the way with insurance and everything works is that if you do have ADHD and you do need medication, some will require that you go through a psychiatrist.
Right. So accommodations at school, if relevant, you would need
them. That's right.
Definitely.
That's right.
Definitely with kids, it's the case.
That's right. And I think there's a stigma of going to that psychiatrist if you've never been. But what would you say to somebody that had that like panic of going?
It's a very unfortunate stigma to anything to do with mental health. And the problem here is in the name, even a deficit disorder. It's not even true. It's if you ask anybody with ADHD, is there anything that they ever find themselves doing something and being so incredibly focused that nothing could stop them. And that's where actually some of the most brilliant things are created in the world, in that stage of, I call it flow, other people call it hyper-focused. There's no issue with paying attention there. The challenge comes in if the task is boring. It becomes much harder. So it's not a deficit. It's really a regulation. It's knowing how to modulate it, to control it. So we have to get over the name. Number one, it's a bad name. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just a question of grinning and bearing it. If you would you would end up, despite the fact, you said in your case, the ugly thoughts you had, a difficulty with going to a psychiatrist, you push through it for the sake of your child. Same thing for if it's something you need for yourself. You push through it. The first stage, you go see somebody because you're worth it.
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of people that find an ADHD coach is because they want to do better. They want to be better. And one thing that you mentioned at the first of the show is that, you know, you thought you were potentially getting Alzheimer's. And as some of my listeners know, I have ADHD as well. And I thought I was getting dementia. And that can be a very scary, lonely place because we don't share that to the world, right? We kind of keep that to ourselves and think, you know, oh no, what, you know, what does this mean? And so having an ADHD coach, I can say for me personally, what it did for me is that it helped me think clearly, and it helped me sort out some of the things that were swirling in my mind that I couldn't share with other people because they didn't get it. They didn't understand the thought process of it should be easy for others, but it wasn't easy for me. And with that note, I won't hide the fact that the way I found Robert was, well, I found him on the internet. I always joke about that, but actually he's one of the most well-renowned best ADHD coaches in the industry. I didn't really, when I first started with you, Robert, I didn't know what to expect. And I'd never had an ADHD coach for myself. I'd had one for my son, but I didn't really know what to expect. And I think the difference with you over a lot of other ADHD coaches is that not only did you help me, but you helped me with my business. You made me be accountable, but you also broke it down to say, what are you doing on this? You've kind of let this go, or isn't this the reason that you are doing this? And you really made it simple for me, which, as I have always said, it was a blessing to find you, and it's a blessing to know you. And so I would say to, first of all, to anyone out there that is kind of wanting to know more or needing to find a coach that really will take that extra effort of learning about you while keeping you on track is Robert Powell. And there's many more, but Robert Powell is one of, in my opinion, one of the best. And I interviewed many, but he does it by video. And at the end, it makes you feel like you've known this person your whole life. And he's the first person you go to when you have a crisis, and then you, on your next appointment, you break it down, and everything I can say for myself, and I have three businesses. And in the past year, there are three major decisions that he helped me to move forward with those decisions. Should I have not met him, they still might've been circling in my mind. So I can personally say that on my behalf. Is there any clients that you've had, Robert, that have had that breakthrough of a great experience working with you?
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was wonderful. It's appreciated.
You're welcome.
I think it's very valuable. Part of what you said about being able to have a space with someone where you can just talk honestly about what isn't working, what your fears are. Because so many people that we have in life, yeah, if they love us and they're our partners, employees, everyone has different agendas. I don't. I have one agenda when I'm with you, and that's you. Right. And I think the unique thing I bring to clients, besides for, you know, the psychological and coaching experience I have, it's that 25 years in business. And specifically in your case, my business having been in fashion, it's consumer goods. So I could very much relate to some of your challenges and opportunities. It was similar type of retailers we were looking at. So that plus has been very helpful. And awesome. Yeah, and there's been, yeah, it's hard. You asked about it, there's other cases of my successes with clients. Yeah, the best bet is on my website. I'm very proud of my testimonial pages. I think.
And your website is, can you share that with us?
Yeah, it's robertpal.com.
Okay, robertpal.com. And right, I checked that out. When I found you, I actually had read all of the testimonials. And when I read them, looking back, I didn't look at any other coach out there. That was it. There was no question and no turning back. And not to say that there aren't any other great coaches out there. It's just that for me, there was something about Robert that resonated that I knew he was someone that could help me. And I knew it. I was at the point where I needed help because not only at the time that we started, I had a child with ADHD who was in the teen years getting ready to go to college. And yet I had three businesses that were booming and I had to, you know, keep all of those focused and yet keep going. And one of the questions that he asked me, I will share with all of you, was he said, you know, if you look back at your whole life, when was the happiest time of your life? And after working with Robert, my answer to him was now, because he has helped me break through some of the issues I had with business problems. And my son is now in college and I'm thriving and our businesses are doing great. And to be able to say that is pretty exciting. I deal with a chronic pain issue and I explained to him that that's just stuff. That's just stuff we deal with. But the fact that having the coach has really given me the gift back of making my life productive and exciting and being able to do more and more, which is, I certainly can't say enough. If Robert, one thing I want to ask you is if someone's interested in reaching out to you, what's your space? Do you have space to bring on clients? Do you put them on a waiting list? Where are you at right now in your career?
Fairly full practice, but there is a turnover. You know, some clients I do have long term. There are other clients that we work just for 3 month periods.
Right.
So if a new client approaches me, we can usually do an initial consultation within 10 days to 2 weeks, and then you should be able to get into a regular cycle within 2-3 weeks.
Got it. And one thing that you said to me, I thought was very interesting. You said, you know, if it makes sense, you know, after I kind of read what you need and what I can offer is if it makes sense. And if it doesn't, you had many resources that you've provided. But through this course of working with Robert, from time to time, he would send me something to read or he would connect me with a person. So it's not about just Robert making, you know, a sale or making that time. He wants to help you. And I can honestly say that not only as interviewing you, because I interview a lot of ADHD coaches, but interviewing you as a client of yours. So this has, you know, been very special. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to ask you, and this is one of our biggest questions, is, you know, in the morning, let's say you're dragging and you're going to a meeting and you've got to get going and you, music to a lot of people, or maybe a podcast. But you know, we all get into our cars and there's always something that we turn it on to get us going. You know, do you have a favorite artist or a favorite song that just really gets you going and gets you inspired?
Yes, there's two. And there's both by the Beatles. It depends which, you know, where my head is. One of my favorites is Here Comes the Sun.
Love it. Love it. Okay.
Yeah. It just gave such a positive outlook on the day, what's ahead.
Yeah.
And the other is Let It Be. Mindfulness is a big, we haven't talked about it, but it's a big part of my practice. And I integrate it into my coaching. And one of the areas, and it's the most difficult area, is acceptance. You know, how do we accept what we don't like? Well, the problem is if we want to change things, we have to start with a level of acceptance. And to me, that's about let it be.
Right.
So I find that in those particular days where I might have trouble accepting something, that song helps me through.
But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, as you know, I could sit here and talk to you for hours upon hours about what you do because I'm a fan. Is there anything that you want to add that we did not cover today?
Two things. If you're newly discovering you have ADHD, whatever it's for yourself or for your child, it's not a bad thing.
Right.
Historically, the people who have changed the world are people with ADHD. Your brain wiring. Don't think of it as a defect because it's not. It's something different. To me, my clients, it shifts it to a higher plane where you're able to see things other people can't see, where you're able to potentially connect with people on a higher level, where you're more creative. There's so many creative people that have ADHD. So with these superpowers, mm-hmm. if I could use that term, and that shift in your brains, it leaves certain areas we're not as good at, which is more common areas. Keeping, arriving on time, being organized. So give yourself a break. There's things in this world that you can do that almost nobody else can do, that you can do better. Appreciate that and focus on those and build those. Don't ignore the weaknesses, but don't let them bring you down.
Love it.
And the final message is for the listeners that are new to you, listening to you, you're amazing. You're like an ideal client. You're smart. You're open. You want to change. You want to grow. And it's been a wonderful experience working with you.
Ah, well, we're not done. We just keep going, actually. So, no, it's very interesting working with Robert. The things that I've learned, things I share with him. There's many things, and one thing I do want to just highlight this for anyone that's listening, whether they're a parent of a child, and I think it's something that I learned. Even I'll share it with Robert. He may or may not know. Because the world is evolving, there used to be a stigma years ago that if you gave your child medication, it was, you were looked down upon. If you talked about it, you were looked down upon. When we sent our son to school at college, two things stuck out to me. And they asked me, they said, what about accommodations? And I have to be honest, I'm very educated. I did not realize what the word accommodations mean. And I think many of you listening might understand this. To me, accommodations meant do you need help? Sitting in class and talking and having that person sitting next to you. That's not what that is. It's called a 504. Do some research on it. And basically they have to be qualified with, documentation from the physician, but it gives them extra time on tests, things like that. The second thing is a scribe. When we registered him into college, my son this year, as he's a freshman studying engineering, they asked me, they said, has he ever used a scribe? And feel free to chime in, Robert, if this sounds familiar to you, but I had never heard of this. And to me, a scribe was somebody sitting down with you at your desk taking notes, but it is not. What it is basically if you ask for that through the disability office, the professor will stand up and say, we have a request for a scribe. Do we have any takers? And then someone may raise their hand. They may get paid for it. They may not. But what happens is then they take their very well-written notes of that class session. They upload it and the professor sends it to the disability office, which then goes to the student, and it's all very confidential. And I have to say, that is extremely impressive. Were you aware of all of that, Robert?
Different schools have different accommodations.
Yeah.
And I think as a parent, get involved, find out what the accommodations are.
Right.
The basic one is extended time for exams.
Right.
Maybe in an environment that's more appropriate. So.
Right. And I always say, as long as they do not embarrass the student. So always work with your teachers to make sure that they're not singled out by that. So anyway, today, like I said, Robert, this has been amazing. And if anyone wants to reach out to Robert, we're going to have his information on our website on how you can reach out to him, send him a note, schedule an appointment with him. I can tell you from my own personal experience of being 51, I have three businesses. One of them is 30 years. You would think, I don't need this, but you know what? I have used every single skills that I have learned from Robert from day one. And so if it can help me, I think it can help many others. And so you can never go wrong. And he's also a lot of fun. And so we have a lot of laughter in our conversations as well. So Robert, anything else from you?
No, that's great.
Awesome. All right. Well, first of all, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. This is the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. And just so everyone knows out there, all this podcast about is how people focus and how they refocus. In our future episodes, we have over 24 people right now scheduled, and all of them are there. We've got pilots, we've got surgeons, we have CEOs, we have got a head of R&D at Nestle. We've got tons of different types of people that I think you're really going to learn from and be excited to find out how they focus and how they can focus better. But I can tell you now, if you're looking for a coach, Robert Powell would be on my top list to reach out to, as well as many others, but he would be my first. So Robert, have a great week. We really appreciate all of your great advice and your stories and just your inspiration of helping others. And for all of you out there, we wish you an amazing week.
Thanks. Keep doing what you do.